This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Brussels identifies suspects. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, March 23rd, glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Authorities in Belgium say more than 30 people are dead following a terrorist attack. They've identified two brothers as suicide bombers.
The bomb blasts have made their way into campaign rhetoric in the U.S. Find out how the presidential candidates are reacting.
Speaking of American politics, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump captured Arizona, the biggest primary state on yesterday's calendar. Results in Utah and Idaho were mixed.
And how Brussels authorities failed to roll up the terror network responsible for yesterday's carnage.
The network that the Belgian authorities have been investigating for 2 years now. And last summer, they prosecuted and convicted more than 30 members of this network. Many of them were convicted, however, in absentia because they had already left for Syria. So the kind of the legal action came too late.
Wall Street Journal reporter Matthew Dalton joins us from Paris in about 2 minutes. Well, for the second time in 4 months, Islamic State terrorists have killed dozens in a European capital. The bomb blast yesterday morning in Brussels at the airport and on a subway train came just days after a prime suspect in last November's terror attacks in Paris was captured. Belgian officials have been conducting house searches countrywide. Federal authorities say one raid in Brussels turned up an explosive device containing nails, along with an Islamic State flag and chemical products. Meanwhile, President Obama addressed the issue on his final day in Cuba before flying to Argentina.
What they can do is scare and make people afraid and disrupt our daily lives and divide us. And as long as we don't allow that to happen, we're going to be okay.
Belgian state media are reporting today the two brothers, Khalid and Ibrahim El-Bakrawi, have been identified as yesterday's suicide bombers at the airport. A couple of things at work here. This may have been an attempt by terrorists to show their ability to rapidly retaliate in the wake of last week's arrest of Salah Abdeslam, or maybe it was a cell tied to him that accelerated an existing plan. Well, the deadly explosions that rocked a publicly accessible part of Brussels' main airport has reignited a debate over whether airports can be better secured and at what cost to travel. That's because most developed world airports focus on keeping weapons off planes. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The focus on planes means we're subject to heavy screening before boarding. That leaves public spaces before those checks, including parking lots and large arrival and departure areas, accessible by practically anyone. Many airports around the world screen passengers before they enter arrival and departure areas. In some cases, they're screened at checkpoints while still in their cars, far from the main terminal. The Wall Street Journal says counterterrorism experts have contacted the aviation arm of the UN to discuss ways to enhance perimeter security around major American hubs. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. 10 minutes after the hour. Well, even before yesterday's attack, European security services believed a sprawling network of Islamist radicals raised in the working class districts of Brussels had emerged as the leading edge of Islamic State's campaign to strike Europe. If a link between the Brussels attacks and that terrorism network is confirmed, Wall Street Journal reporter Matthew Dalton says it would represent Belgian law enforcement's failure to penetrate a jihadist group it worked for 2 years to shut down. He's with us now from Paris. Matt, set this up.
Well, it's a network that the Belgian authorities have been investigating for probably more than 2 years now. And last summer, they prosecuted and convicted more than 30 members of this network, which is from some of the predominantly Muslim neighborhoods of Brussels. Many of them were convicted, however, in absentia because they had already left for Syria. So the kind of the legal action came too late. And then months after they did that, several members were involved in the Paris attacks, and now it seems increasingly likely that others were involved in the Brussels bombings yesterday. So this is a network that has gone from Brussels to Syria, then come back undetected and inflicted carnage in France and Belgium. And the Belgians have really not been able to stop them.
And why not? Because there was a phrase used in your story, Matt, that said failure to penetrate.
Well, I think they didn't stop them in time to prevent them from leaving in the first place, which is really the ideal moment when you want to roll up one of these extremist networks. You want to prevent the people from going to Syria in the first place, because once they go there, they become much more dangerous. They're given weapons training. They've been fighting in a war, so they've become much more accustomed to violence and much more they become much more effective militants. And then there are a number of people in the network that are emerging only now, it seems, who have connections to all these people that the authorities didn't really seem to know about. And moreover, they didn't know that the people who had gone to Syria had come back. So there are kind of multiple levels of intelligence and law enforcement failures here.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Matthew Dalton in Paris today. His piece is called Attacks Highlight Belgian Failure to Roll Up Extremist Network. I thought there was a very damning statement in your story, too. It was an analyst or expert of some kind who said the Belgian government is still looking the other way. Is that right?
Well, I don't know if they're still looking the other way, but they did look the other way for a number of years. I think the previous government, the previous prime minister, was quite slow to acknowledge the fact that Belgium had become a hotspot for sending recruits from Europe to the Syrian battlefield to fight with extremist groups and mainly Islamic State. The numbers that the government had put out were, according to the people who followed this most closely, were low balls of the real number of people who had gone. And then when a new government came in 2014, they revised all those numbers up by several hundred people. So now it's estimated that, probably around 500 Belgians have gone to Syria.
Wow.
So, it's a pretty small country. That's a major security risk, and the government is, over the last 2 years, has been coming to grips with it, but it's been too late because all those people have already left for Syria.
Is Belgium still as weak as once perceived, I guess?
Possibly. The problem with this country is that it's linguistically divided, so there are two different sets of police forces in the Belgian, in the French-speaking and Dutch-speaking halves of the country. There is a federal police, but it does have to negotiate lots of different layers of bureaucracy. The security services are probably underfunded right now, given the level of the threat the country is facing from these foreign fighters who have gone to Syria.
Thanks, Matt. Wall Street Journal reporter Matthew Dalton. I must say, I feel like the angle of the day came to us last hour from the Wall Street Journal's Julian Barnes, who's based in Brussels, who said that according to Belgian law, overnight raids are not permitted. So from 9:30 at night till about 5 or 5:30 in the morning, authorities are not allowed to conduct any police-related raids. That is staggering. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office, and it's so easy. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. They'll even give you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage for any letter, any package,
any class of mail. And setup is easy, too. Within minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com and enter the code Deal. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday. The attacks in Brussels became part of the campaign rhetoric by the presidential candidates. On the Republican side, Texas Senator Ted Cruz spoke in New York City, suggesting police in the U.S. should more aggressively track Muslim communities.
President Obama and Hillary Clinton support bringing tens of thousands of Syrian Muslim refugees to America. This is despite the fact that ISIS has stated its intention to infiltrate those refugees.
GOP frontrunner and businessman Donald Trump believes the recently arrested suspect tied to the Paris attacks likely knew about these attacks in Brussels.
I would use maximum interrogation technique. I would use waterboarding, and I would try and expand the laws so we can go beyond waterboarding.
Ohio Governor John Kasich called on President Obama to cut short his trip to Cuba to address the issue. On the Democratic side, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton spoke in Seattle.
Ted Cruz, who said we need to be policing everywhere that Muslims live. I don't know about you. That is not only offensive, that too is dangerous.
Meanwhile, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders addressed supporters in San Diego.
We can win that war and destroy ISIS without getting the brave men and women in the U.S. armed forces into a perpetual war in the Middle East.
Meanwhile, the presidential candidates were tied up in presidential primaries and a caucus yesterday. Jennifer will have those results in just a moment. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Kashenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to suicide bombers who blew themselves up in Brussels are believed to be brothers who were being sought for links with the prime suspect in the Paris attacks. Authorities named the two as Khalid and Ibrahim El Bakrawi, saying Khalid last week rented an apartment in Brussels under a false name where police found Salah Abdeslam's fingerprints after a raid. A third suspect was arrested this morning. Presidential candidate Ted Cruz's call for increased surveillance in Muslim neighborhoods following the deadly bombings in Brussels is drawing sharp rebukes from Muslim Americans and civil rights groups, which panned the Republicans' proposal as unconstitutional and counterproductive. Hillary Clinton also objected to Cruz's comments that law enforcement should be empowered to patrol and secure Muslim neighborhoods before they become radicalized.
Ted Cruz, who said we need to be policing everywhere that Muslims live. I don't know about you. That is not only offensive, that too is dangerous.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio called Cruz's comments reprehensible and why Cruz is not going to become president of this country. Meanwhile, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton continue collecting delegates with big wins in Arizona, but the other candidates didn't walk away empty-handed. Democrat Bernie Sanders won the Democratic presidential caucuses in Idaho and Utah. Ted Cruz won Utah's GOP caucus, with John Kasich coming in second. Fresh supplies have shipped out to the International Space Station, where the shelves finally are getting full after a string of failed deliveries. Launching beneath the light of a nearly full moon, the unmanned rocket headed north with its precious cargo and paralleled the East Coast on its way to orbit. That capsule is holding nearly 8,000 pounds of food, equipment, and scientific research for NASA. New York's Assembly has voted to legalize mixed martial arts, clearing the way for fights later this year and expanding the combat sport into the last state to still prohibit it. Meanwhile, the NFL Competition Committee has approved 7 new proposals for the 2016 season, making all chop blocks illegal and permanently moving the line of scrimmage on extra points to the 15-yard line.
A lot of knees were just saved there, it sounds like, by eliminating chop blocks.
They had some kind of chop blocks that were legal, but yeah, this expands that a bit.
Let's move that extra point back to like the 30.
Yeah,
make it really interesting. 23 minutes after the hour, Donald Trump isn't just appealing to angry voters fed up with economic decline and political dysfunction. He's also converting that anger directly into votes. Yahoo Finance recently ranked all 50 states according to an anger index. Here's columnist Rick Newman. Rick, what do you have?
This is a way of sort of quantifying that Trump is clearly appealing to people in states where people feel like they're falling behind, states that are less prosperous. He is more popular in states that are less prosperous. And that sort of tells you what you think you know about what we've been seeing in the election, which is a lot of voters are angry. They feel they're falling behind. They feel there's nobody looking out for their interests and there's nobody solving problems. And that is turning into votes for Trump.
All right, you said, too, that anger with an underperforming economy here isn't the only factor determining voter loyalties. Explain the others, kind of the other factors
at
work.
In exit polls, voters who are, after when they're coming out of the polls during primaries, people do say, yes, the economy is a big factor. But people in the, on the Republican side, at least, say they also feel abandoned by their party. They see what's happening in Washington. They see these traditional conventional candidates, and they just don't feel that those candidates are representing their interest. And it's not surprising, because what is happening in Washington? Pretty much nothing. What has Congress, or for that matter, the Obama administration, done lately to sort of address this problem of people falling behind, people not having the right skills, people losing jobs as they go overseas? I mean, nothing. Congress has really not addressed these issues at all, and people blame their politicians, which they should.
Yeah. We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. He's got a piece entitled, Donald Trump is Winning All the Angry States. All right, so how many angry states are left on the primary calendar?
Not too many. If you look at the 20th angry states, the only couple of big ones left, I think Pennsylvania might fall into that category, New Jersey. But this is part of Trump. He's getting to the right, close to the number of delegates he needs to win. So he needs to win a few more angry states, and he needs to win some of the non-angry states. And I don't know if he's going to, win the nomination outright by getting a majority of delegates if we're going to end up with this contested convention, which everybody's sort of talking about. It looks like it's going to be close. But Trump has got the angry voter locked down, at least down on the Republican side.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, who's based in New York. By the way, Arizona number 17 on the angry list. Mr. Trump won it last night. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We've been talking a lot about the Great Courses. Now they're offering something new, the Great Courses Plus Video Learning Service. An unlimited access to a huge library of the Great Courses lecture series in so many fascinating subjects, and they're giving our listeners an incredible opportunity right now. Watch one of their popular courses, Understanding Investments, absolutely free. Understanding Investments is presented by award-winning professor of financial economics at Duke University, Connell Fullenkamp. The course explains the fundamentals of investing for those not familiar with the process and also covers areas that more experienced investors find beneficial. Just for a limited time, the Great Courses Plus is offering This Morning listeners a chance to stream this course, Understanding Investments, a $215 value, and hundreds of other courses for free. Stream from any internet-connected TV, PC, or through the Great Courses Plus apps. But this free offer is only available for a limited time, so hurry. Go to thegreatcoursesplus.com/deal. That's thegreatcoursesplus.com/deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It is Wednesday, March 23rd. Gordon Deal sitting alongside Jennifer Koshenka. Glad you're with us. Some of our top stories and headlines. More than 30 dead now after those terror attacks in Brussels, which is under fire for its security and police work. Clinton and Trump win the big primary prize of Arizona. Jeb endorses Cruz. Obama concludes his trip to Cuba, moves to Argentina. A week after an NFL official acknowledged a link between the neurodegenerative disease CTE and football, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones says he's not convinced. The data shows there's a connection. And how newfound fame in the NCAA tournament can bust your smartphone. That story in about 20 minutes. The attack that killed dozens of innocent civilians in Brussels yesterday is a stark reminder that ISIS and other Islamist violent extremist groups are very much on the march in free society. So says retired Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann, former Green Beret, who now heads a group called Mission America. Scott, how do you see this?
A lot of people are talking about how Belgium represents the political strike opportunity. Some are seeing this as a revenge attack for the perpetrator of Paris. Those probably have some truth. What I really see this is as another strategic event in a much broader ISIS campaign of violence against the West. These guys are not resting, and they are very actively trying to draw Western countries, including the U.S., into a manufactured holy war in Syria that's tied to their bastardized version of an Islamic prophecy. These guys are all about the end of days, and they are going to do attacks like this throughout Europe and the U.S. to draw us into a bigger fight in Syria. That's how I see this.
All right. You said in some of the notes here I was looking at, the game has changed, meaning really recently it has changed?
Well, I think it's continuing to change. But, yes, I believe that Paris, San Bernardino, illustrate that the game has changed. And by that, I mean we are going up against a terror group in ISIS that folks, I really ask them to understand, they are distinctly different from Al-Qaeda in the sense that they have a diehard belief in an apocalyptic scenario. They believe that on their watch, on this earth, they will usher in the end of days. And it will be through this epic battle in Syria, this set-piece battle with 80 countries of the infidels. And they've bought into this, Gordon. And to do that, they have got to draw Western countries into Syria. And to do that, they are going to visit a level of violence with audacity and localism that, frankly, we just haven't seen in our lifetimes. But it's here and it's coming.
Mm. We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel, retired Scott Mann, former Green Beret, also the founder of Mission America. And we're talking about Brussels being another wake-up call. You mentioned, too, kind of this pattern that we see. There will be outcries against the violence. There will be mourning. We'll pause and shake our heads and then kind of go back to our daily lives. But you say that's got to change.
It has to change, Gordon. I mean, this is what we consistently do. We even did this with San Bernardino. I talk about this in chapter one of my book, Game Changers, that this is what they want from us. They want to keep punching us in the nose until we get so emotional about it that we overreact with the same form of traditional warfare, large bombing campaigns, large military footprints that have failed us for 15 years. What I'm really pushing for here is that Americans will wake up and see this as not a Western Europe thing. If we want to know what's coming our way, pay attention to Western Europe. That's why our nonprofit is really pushing the contracttoprotectamerica.org, where we are asking for 1 million signatures of Americans to sign a digital petition in this election year that demands our politicians get real about this fight, get smarter about it, and change the strategy. And we've got to demand that action as citizens, or frankly, we're just going to keep repeating this until we have another cataclysmic attack that draws us in.
All right, so what do you mean by get real, Scott? How are we going to address this? What's the best way in your mind?
Well, there's several things that we should be doing right now. For example, look at the narrative that ISIS is putting out there, this narrative of a utopian caliphate where young men and women can flock to and find honor and peace, and they can actually do something greater than themselves. This is the type of Nazi-style propaganda that we should be countering and competing with. We don't even talk about it. We don't even say Islamist, and that's got to change. When we look at how what happened in Belgium, what type of systems and processes enabled folks to establish that kind of auxiliary support for that kind of complex attack, look at our own systems. Look at our own processes. Where are we putting ourselves at risk? I'm all about a free, open civil society, but where are we incurring undue risk, and what can we do about it? These are the things we as citizens have to demand from our government, and our government's not doing it right now. We're sticking our head in the sand and pretending this doesn't exist, or at worst, it exists only in Europe, and we're going to reap it if we don't wake up and look at this problem realistically.
Hey, Scott. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann heads a group called Mission America. 20 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The new high-performance Dell Latitude systems are the most secure, manageable, and reliable business-class laptops and two-in-ones so employees can do their best work. Outfitted with the latest Intel Core processors, your team can reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times the performance. Make your work beautiful again at Dell.com/radio. Again, Dell.com/radio. Thanks for being with us. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like a little cynicism and sarcasm with your cornflakes, you can follow me directly at Gordon Deal. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, a man in a tree caused quite a disturbance in Seattle yesterday morning, and by the end of the day became a full-fledged internet sensation. This isn't just any old tree. It's an 80-foot-tall sequoia tree, which the man climbed to the top of yesterday morning, disrupting traffic. Seattle police say someone called 911 after 11 a.m. to report a man in the conifer next to Macy's department store. Police say when authorities arrived, the man refused to speak with them and then threw an apple at medics. By afternoon, police said traffic was being tied up as officials closed nearby roads as a precaution. The incident attracted onlookers and grew in popularity on social media with a live video stream dedicated to it and the hashtag ManInTree trending on Twitter and Facebook. Negotiators with assistance from the Seattle Fire Department were on a fire truck ladder trying to talk the man down from the tree last night, and he still appears to be up there this morning.
You know, once you throw an apple at medics from an 80-foot-tall tree, now you're asking for it.
Well, from right. 80 feet up, I mean, yeah. that could do some serious damage. Plus, they say, he's cutting branches down, or he's messing with the branches and throwing them down on people. And again, anything coming from that far up, again, you're talking downtown here. There's a lot of people, large concentration.
And this, by the way, I don't know this area of Seattle, but this, it looks like just a singular giant tree is in front of this Macy's store.
it does seem like an odd spot for a tree.
Yeah.
But it is Seattle. They do like their trees there. So,
they do like their trees.
You know, again, maybe this was some effort maybe to keep the tree there while they were building around it, is what I'm guessing.
I must admit, I only half paid attention to what you were saying because I am watching the live stream from Como Television. In Seattle, of Man in Tree.
As is much of America. So while you're doing that, I will update you now on a story that's been making all the social media rounds besides the man in the tree this week. A mall Easter bunny and a father who got into a scuffle have been charged with aggravated assault and disorderly conduct, according to the Associated Press. The fight broke out at a mall in Jersey City, New Jersey, after the father's daughter fell off a chair while having her picture taken. Police say while investigating the fight, they found both men to have outstanding warrants. Video posted online shows a chaotic scene as the men exchanged punches. Bail for the men was set at $20,000 and $25,000, with both reportedly due back in court about a week after Easter.
Nice.
Hard to believe, right, that the guys who were taking swings at each other at the mall have previous charges against them.
Yeah. Go figure. Will the one guy have to wear the bunny costume? To the court appearance.
So they can identify properly?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's unbelievable.
Luckily not due back till after Easter, though, so he can finish up his Easter duties.
Right. An Easter bunny at the center of violence and chaos at a mall in New Jersey.
It is 2016, Gordon. It's not really that unusual at this point, is it?
Yeah. What do you think the girl now thinks, like, of Easter following this incident, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not so much the appetite to color eggs and go on Easter egg hunt and all that stuff after.
Looking forward to summer.
Unbelievable. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's 8 minutes before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Brussels residents are out jogging and walking their dogs the day after terrorist bombings killed at least 34 people, but strain is evident as the frequent wails of sirens are heard. One of the terror suspects was arrested this morning, while two others, believed to be brothers, blew themselves up in the attacks. State Department spokesman John Kirby warned against using the attacks to fuel anti-Muslim rhetoric.
This isn't about a religion. This is about a warped and brutal, depraved ideology.
Meanwhile, Germany's top security official says he wants European security agencies to be able to exchange information more easily. And France's prime minister says there's an urgent need to tighten controls on Europe's borders. The Council on American Islamic Relations is condemning Ted Cruz's call for more surveillance in Muslim neighborhoods following the attacks in Brussels. CARE says Cruz's comments send an alarming message to American Muslims who increasingly fear for their future in the U.S. The Pentagon says the U.S. military conducted an airstrike yesterday against an al-Qaeda training camp in Yemen, causing dozens of casualties. Officials say the training camp was located in the mountains and was being used by more than 70 terrorists. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton traded wins with their chief rivals in nominating contests across three western states. Trump and Clinton scored in last night's biggest prize of Arizona, while Democratic challenger Bernie Sanders won caucuses in Utah and Idaho. Republican Ted Cruz claimed the GOP caucus in Utah. Few people will remember the score For the record, Tampa Bay beat the Cuban national team 4-1, but rather the visual of Presidents Barack Obama and Raul Castro sitting side by side yesterday and talking baseball. President Obama also spoke at the game about freedom for all Cuban people.
By creating those pockets of freedom and opportunity, over time, changing attitudes start beginning to happen. And people start thinking, you know what, I don't have to risk traveling to Miami in order to succeed. Potentially, I can succeed here.
It was the first time a major league team had played in Cuba since the Baltimore Orioles played there in 1999.
Some of the Tampa Bay Rays went deep. A couple of long home runs in that game, right? Derek Jeter was there. It's
and like Joe Torre.
Yeah, some celebrity baseball guys. Very good. Thank you, Jen. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack? When you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price. And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 4000 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 4000.
It's quite possible that this year's NCAA tournament could be the biggest wrecker of smartphones. When Arkansas Little Rock pulled off an upset of Purdue in its first game in the tournament, hundreds of people attempted to contact and congratulate Little Rock coach Chris Beard, almost all at the same time. That wasn't so good for his phone. He said his phone was destroyed. The Wall Street Journal says the tournament can make people very famous very fast, right, for a short amount of time, and their phones often can't keep up with the attention. Now, Apple didn't respond to a request for comment, but a representative for Best Buy's technical support division, Geek Squad, said a flood of messages and alerts can overload even the newest smartphones and cause them to freeze up. This technology update has been brought to you by Staples. Staples has low prices every day on the office items you use most, like ink and paper, even coffee and snacks, plus special deals for even more savings at stores or staples.com. Staples, make more happen. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Are you looking forward to your tax refund? Well, so are identity thieves. All that's needed to file a fake tax return is your Social Security number and your date of birth. The IRS has issued billions of dollars in bogus refunds in recent years. Even if you're not getting a refund, crooks can use the information on your tax documents to commit other crimes, like opening credit cards in your name. Services that offer free credit monitoring won't fix an identity theft problem, whether it's tax-related or not, but LifeLock will. If you're a victim of identity theft, their team of specialists, based right here in the U.S., will work to resolve your case. It's peace of mind all year long. Now that is something to look forward to. Memberships start at just $9.99 a month plus applicable tax. Call 1-800-916-7170 or visit LifeLock.com now and use the promo code Gordon. That's the promo code Gordon to get 10% off your membership. Call 800-916-7170.